Wade, see, I was bringing you this deal for you to loan me the money to put in. It's my deal here, see?
Jerry, we thought you were bringing us an investment.
Yeah, right.
You're saying... What are you saying?
I just fell asleep so hard. I took the longest fucking nap. It was like an hour. I mean, I was fucking out. I woke up and it took me like 20 minutes to fucking recuperate. You ever have one of those? Like that was a tough one. I took it in my car because it's so populated right over by where I work, and I usually need to take one before I get on the freeway because it's going to be a fucking hour, you know, before I get anywhere. It's going to be an hour of me sitting and, you know, falling asleep. It's hard. I'd rather just, you know, take a nap, and by the time I get to where I'm going, I'm nice and awake. The place I sleep, the only spot near me where there's not fucking people right on top of you, and there still kind of is, but there's a Vons grocery store. We got like nine grocery store chains out here. One of them's called Vons, right? There's one, block away. In this shopping center, pretty populated. Well, I guess a week or two ago, there's a Panda Express there, which I eat at all the time. It's a Vons, Panda Express, a bunch of other little joints. Some lady was sitting there. She got food. I mean, this is a big fucking plaza, you know? Oh, 5 pages, a lot of fucking dialogue. The lady's sitting there eating her Panda Express. Some guy walks up next to her, blows her brains out. Point blank. Right in the middle of that fucking parking lot. Smoked some fucking lady. I guess she was from Texas. So no one knows what this was about. I don't know if there's even any, like, if anyone's got to look at the guy. I don't know. But that sounds like some serial killer shit to me. So, you know, one day you see... if the fucking podcast is 2-3 weeks late, check the news. Check the papers. Because I probably got my fucking brains blown out sleeping behind that fucking Vons. Like... This is like, every couple nights I'm like, the first two nights I'm like, this fucking guy might come back. This could be some fucking killer that's gonna just, it's like the Vons parking lot killer. And I'm fucking back here taking a nap behind the Vons where it's dark and quiet. And then I'm like, I swear to God, a part of me thinks this. I'm sitting there and I'm like, just fall asleep. If somebody fucking shoots you in the head while I'm sleeping, what better way could you fucking go out? I'm like, how bad can it be? I won't even fucking know it's coming. I'll just go to sleep and not wake up. Fuck it. That's into all my problems. Sure, you start to this fucking podcast, isn't it? I finally broke down. I got a Flickr page so you could see pictures. The Flickr page is live from the 405 podcast. It's connected to the lookinggoodradio.com, the main page, which is the Looking Good Network, where I host this show. Yeah, scroll down the bottom of the page. It'll be all the pictures, and I got them labeled. Which episodes they are. You can see some of the angels, the famous girls I talked about. Because I'm sure having their picture on there, and I'm sure that won't come back to bite me in the ass at all. I'm sure they'll have no problem seeing that. Oh, I can't wait till they see that. The old slobberoo, like, what the fuck? I'm just waiting. That phone call is coming any day. But anyways, it's there. Finally got that going. I got my proof t-shirt for this show in the mail. I like it. It's the colors are a little muted on it. The material's a little weird. And I want the softer, nicer material that we made the Weird Fellas shirts out of. But the problem with that shit is, it's so... I can't stand... And those Weird Fellas shirts are black. But, like, the material is so fucking linty. It's like... within 10 minutes, it looks like you rolled around in cat hair or something. It just... Shit gets all over it. I fucking hate that. So, maybe I'll stick with this one. And, I'll probably just order them, because, I mean, what am I going to do, order 5 fucking proof t-shirts? I got a large, and it fits like a medium, and they're 90% cotton, so I'm going to have to do more extra large than I thought, but I will, I'll get those ordered pretty soon, get them around to people, but, I don't know, they're fucking pretty cool looking. I got a listener, Ben, remember that part in fucking Star Wars, the new one? In England, hit me up, dude in England listens, it's, that's pretty rad. Hey man, thanks for listening, jolly old England. Don't you love when people do a fake British accent? The guy I work with, a British bloke, Martin, the guy who did the Mangria, motherfucker, who did the voiceover for those Mangria spots. And I'm sitting there, and he's got like such like a charming British accent, you know. And he works upstairs, and I'm sitting down there this morning, like at 9 a.m. And I just hear this scream from upstairs. He just goes, "Shut up, you cunt!" I don't know who he was talking to or what, but he yelled it so loud and fucking made me laugh so hard. It just came out of nowhere. Who says cunt better than the English? It's if they fucking sound better than anyone else saying it. They're so like, it's just like the word, like you don't even notice they're saying it. They really get away with that one. I'm also thinking about yesterday. I can't fucking talk today. God, that nap fucked me up. In LA, you meet such a bigger mix of people, I guess, than some other places. But like, I met a lot of Australians out here. And it's like you meet the same guy over and over again. Like Australia, they're always super fucking friendly. They're always just like ready to fucking, they're always like polite and just like cool, nice people and just ready to party and shit. But they never get like too out of control. They're just like, they're like the Canadians of like the fucking, the other part of the planet or something. And they're always good looking. They always have like fucking real like good looking dude features and shit. And they're just like, "Oh, mate, let's go have some beers and shit." And like, I don't know. I'm like, why are they so fucking happy? What's going on down there? But they all seem like they're here and they all seem like they hate Australia too, which is the weird part. You think they'd be more bitter, but they're not. I don't know. What's the deal with the Australians? The other day, yesterday, they announced, oh my God, on fucking Facebook, 25th anniversary of Snapcase Progressions Through and Learning, one of the seminal albums of my fucking high school years. They're having a reunion show in Buffalo. Grade, one of my fucking favorite bands, and Snapcase playing. I want to go to this so bad. It's next month. I would fucking do anything to go to the show. I'm looking into tickets. It's like about $350 to go round trip. And fuck, dude, I was, it was announced yesterday, and I was like, I would fly home for that in a fucking second if I had the money. And I'm looking into tickets and all this shit. Hang on, I gotta get gas. Give me 1 second. Okay, sorry. So I'm looking into flights and shit like that. And like, it's not that bad. A round trip, $350. Not that good either. And plus, if I want to get a batch of T-shirts, that's gonna be $300. And I kind of entertained the idea at work. And then I'm driving home yesterday, and I'm starting, everyone's going, all my old fucking friends are going, I mean, this is like literally would be like flying home to be like 19 again for fucking, for 3 hours, like, I would love to go. And then I'm listening to, I put on fucking, Beneath the Radar, my favorite, you know, that fucking Grade album. I haven't seen Grade in like 15 fucking years, dude. I mean, Grade and Snapcase used to fucking play all the time, you know, like, that was like a Friday night, and now it's like such an event. I would fly across the goddamn country. I got so wound up. I'm like, I gotta fucking go to the show. And I start texting everybody. I'm like, dude, I'm fucking coming. I was gonna fly home that Thursday night. It's next. It's the I think the second last Friday. It's like February. I think it's like the 29th of February. And I was gonna fly home that Thursday, go to the show, hang out Saturday, fly back Sunday. I swear. And then I was about to like do it today. And I'm just like, don't. I'm like, we fucking can't do this. I don't have the goddamn money. I really don't. I can't fucking settle another $300 on my credit card, which I was going to put for the T-shirts anyways. So it's like, what do you want? T-shirts? They'll probably end up, I would imagine, at least Grade. I'd love to see Snapcase, but it's really all about Grade. I'm like, maybe they'll come out here. You know, Luke, you can't go and spend that much money and put it on your credit card. You already got a lot of credit card debt. I know, but I want to fucking go. Fuck! So I don't think I can do it, but God, dude, I was so close. I swear to you. I was like texting everybody. I got everybody all fucking wound up like a jerk piece of shit that I am. So this week in comedy, right? Now, last week, I wrote this bit about ass eating after I had the SBH for the 20-year-old girl and I ate her ass and all that shit. I had a whole bunch of little tidbits that just... hang on, is this fucking... Why does this sound so weird? That were building up, and I'm like, I got enough for a bit here, three and a half, 4 minute bit, and like, I got this idea that I want, it's not even this idea, it's just who I am. You guys know, I'm a fucking, kind of a, you know how, you know, I'll talk about anything sex. Like, I'm just like kind of very, what the fuck's the word I'm looking for? Not brash, but whatever. Like, you know how I am. So, like, I want to be like that on stage. So I'm not like trying to be like Dice or something like that. But like, and I have a lot of sex stories, but then like, I just feel like such a fucking pig doing it. It's weird. I'm very like self-conscious about that. I'm just like, these fucking people don't know. I'm just going to tell all these fucking perverted stories and shit, but I can't, but it's real stuff. It's shit that really happened to me. So like, and I've been doing like kind of a lot of fucking stuff lately. So I had just a bunch of kind of, a lot of sex material coming up, but I just feel kind of weird doing it. I feel like such a pussy saying that. I go so against, like, I don't know. I'm sure someday I'll maybe come out of my shell more about it, but, I don't know. Right now I'm just real, and I was just like kind of dreading doing it. And I was just like, I don't want to fucking get up and tell, I don't want to talk about this, but like, I couldn't help it. It was all I had. So, and I know from doing this for a while that it's never a good idea to go and, fucking hot in here. It's never a good idea to go and put all your eggs in one basket comedy-wise. You don't want to nail your whole set to one premise, because if it doesn't fucking, if it doesn't work, then I was just fucking talking to somebody on Reddit today. Someone's like, what am I doing for my first stand-up? If it doesn't work, you're stuck with it for the whole thing. And it, especially if it don't work right out of the gate, that's going to be a long fucking 3 minutes, and it throws you fucking hard. I don't know, I did a bunch of spots, and I saw a few people fucking do that, and just like, guy, bail on this fucking bit here. What are you doing? They just keep going. So I'm dreading that happening, but like I said, I can't help it. This is what I got. And on fucking paper, it looks really funny. And I mean, you got to take chances sometimes too. So I go up at Flappers over there. I'm there by myself, which that makes a difference when it's a fucking place by yourself. It really does. If you're with your friends, it really it helps, and it fucking makes it, you know, not so tense, and you know, no matter what, at least your friend's gonna laugh. That helps me quite a bit. But the host is this chick that she's not like, she's okay. She's not ugly. She's kind of cute, but she's got a fucking great ass. She got a nice fat ass on her, this girl, and she's got like a skater cut, and she's kind of crazy. I don't know, nice enough gal, decent host, but great fucking great weird looking ass. It's just big. I can't describe it. It's a certain kind of. This chick that was a PA on Mission Impossible 3 had an ass like that. I almost want to call it like, they just look like saddlebags. It's like too big, just fucking like you could put a beer on it or something. I mean, I'm not talking like a perfect stuck out like Nicki Minaj ass, but like stuck out kind of weird, whatever. What am I fucking going on about this girl's ass? So I get up and do the bit, and I haven't done this one yet, right? I've been fucking rehearsing it for how long? And it's like three like chunks, all about ass eating. And the first part does, okay, Flappers, it's not a super easy room because it's all just other fucking comics in there. And I realize after the first bit, when I'm about to go to the second paragraph, that the first paragraph was just right, and I had the room, and that if I keep going, it's going to be bad. And I could just feel it by the timing, because I'm like a minute and a half in, and I'm like, they don't want to hear about this anymore, and I don't want to talk. You just could fucking feel it. I'm like, this is now it's too much. It's going to be too much if I keep going, but I had to keep going. And I just watched everyone kind of like going from like lightly laughing to a couple of the points to like everyone's face just being like, oh Jesus Christ. I mean, it wasn't like super. It wasn't like fucking about duty. It was just about the first part was about how much girls don't think they like to have their ass eaten, but do. The second part was about the little Asian girl that I met off Craigslist that I never even kissed, but ate her ass. And then the third part was about, about how you got to let guys know if you're going to be an ass eater and join the ass eater army, that you have to let your fellow ass eaters know. If they're at a club or something like that and their chick goes into the bathroom for 15 or 20 minutes, we should have to fucking some signal to warn each other, like, hey, don't eat her ass because I think she took crap. So by the time I got into that, the people were just had it. And then by the time I was just like, I just felt gross. I'm like, oh man. And I get off stage and it's just, there's a new thing, like not, like when I bomb now, it never really used to bother me. I'd bomb and just be like, yeah, it's part of the thing. But now I get this thing like, I just want to get the fuck out of there. Like, I'm like so embarrassed to stay there. I'm just like, I just want to leave. Fucking, I don't know, that just started, but I was like, luckily, I was one of the later guys up. There wasn't that many people left after me. In fact, it was really late. I was like one of those. I've had a bad run of being fucking late as shit. One of the last names pulled, and it's like 1 o'clock in the fucking morning. Oh, I had a fucking few of those. But I just sat down. I'm just like, I just felt so fucking gross. I'm like, and the host, who, like I said, she's kind of cute and had a nice ass. She's like, okay, well, if anyone in here wants their asshole licked, we know who to go to. And I was just like, oh God. Oh my God. Yeah, that sucked. So, I mean, obviously right there on stage, I knew I had to cut that fucker down. So I cut that fucker down. I kept just the first part. I got some of the laughs. So I retooled the set and worked some other, what the fuck is this? So holy shit, that's a crazy homeless guy. He's like standing almost in the middle of traffic. So I get so fucking hot when I sweat my ass off. It's so weird. It's so fucking hot in my car. It's a weird temperature outside today. I cut it down, and then I went to Flappers on Saturday, and Brandon went. And then I did okay. I got a few. I didn't do great. I did all right. I held my own. I couldn't remember if that was a good room or not. The next time I go up was last night, Tuesday. I went to Westside again. The Tuesday night mic at Westside is super fucking, like, there's always a shit ton of people. Like, seriously, like 60, 70 people show up to sign up. And it's a good sized room, but it barely holds that. I mean, that's like fucking, they're out of seats and people are just standing everywhere. You can hardly, like, walk through the place. And they pull 25 names out of, like, the fucking 60 or whatever to show up. And then usually by then, maybe 10, 15 people leave if their name didn't get pulled. Because he wants to fucking sit there all night. And I drive all the way over to the, I drive all the way over to Santa Monica to do this because I like this fucking mic so much. You know, that's my place. I'm way more comfortable, and it's a good place for me to work shit out because I'm way less afraid to do it there. I don't just feel as homey because I just know a lot of people there. And so it's packed. I get my name pulled. I'm like, fucking sweet. I didn't drive all the way over here for nothing. This is like 10 o'clock. Well, names are getting drawn. It wasn't a great room anyways. Even it was just a weird vibe there, and sometimes it just happens. And wait. Name's not getting called. Now it's getting fucking late. Now it's midnight. Still not called. And I'm like, I'm going to be the last fucking name pulled. I just know it. Sure enough, last name fucking, your headliner for tonight, Uncle Luke, pulled 12 fucking 45 a.m. This is when I went up. There's now 7 people in the fucking room. There's like 3 people in a cluster right like kind of in front of the mic, and there's 2 people kind of in the back in the shadows, and like 3 or 4 people over by the bar, including Chris, the fucking bartender, who's like the owner. And a couple, because she says, like, she's like, okay, here's the list. I have 4 names left in the bucket, and she pulled them in a row, and she's like, and the final comic will be Uncle Luke. So the guys before me, everyone's like kind of trying. When no one's in a room like that, like, you're fucked. And that's like, that's, I don't know what's scarier. When there's no people, when there's a ton of people, I don't know. I guess at this point it's worse when there's less people for me, because you're just like, you're just fucked. Like, what are you going to do? And I'm sitting there, I'm so fucking pissed. And, wow, is it full-size Guns N' Roses fucking billboard for Coachella? That's so funny. Just the Guns N' Roses logo. Wow. Guns N' Roses getting back together. I don't give a shit, but I'm surprised they finally fucking did. I wonder how that's gonna go. So I'm fucking pissed. I'm like, fucking what? Leave me alone. Let me alone, will you? Why me? Why is it always gotta be me? I'm all fucking pissed off. I'm like, oh, I can't catch a break. I keep getting fucking pulled last. All this kind of shit. Woe is me. And I'm like, well, I'm not gonna get up and try. Now I have all new stuff. There's no ass eating stuff, and there's a bunch of other bits I want to get. And I'm like, it's not going to work if I get up there and fucking do it for 3. They're not going to laugh at my fucking material. This is going to be pointless. And the guy, one or two guys before me tried. It was a fucking shit show. So I've always wanted to do this and never had the balls. And I'm like, I am going to completely fucking wing it. I'm throwing this whole fucking set out the window. I'm just going to get up there and talk to people. Fuck it. I'm taking the long way to the valley. I'm cutting through Beverly Hills and all this kind of shit. Just so you guys know. I don't know why I'm telling you that. And I got up there and just fucking, man, it was fucking awesome. Like, I didn't do great, but I did better than I would have done if I tried to just do my jokes. I just talked to people in the crowd, just kind of shot the shit, and I was just like, where do you work? Where are you from? And I'm just kind of like, it was I'm a year and a half in, and that was my first official crowd, 100% crowd work Rick Ingram set. Just trying to, like, but it's so scary. It's like jumping out of a fucking plane with a parachute, because, like, you don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what the people are going to say or what they're going to give you, like, what kind of shit you're going to have to try to work a joke into, like, on the spot in front of everybody. But like fucking, it sucks because you only get 3 minutes there, and I was just starting to get warmed up and get shit, and they gave me the light, and I'm like, I could have just fucking sat here for 10 minutes, like, easily. Like, it really was like a fucking, I felt like a goddamn wall I broke down. I'm like, it was like I was like knocking walls down on my house and you know, to open up a room, and there's like a fucking cave behind the wall that like went down in somewhere I didn't know. It was fucking, what a gay analogy. You know what made me think of that? Remember the old, the Goonies Are Good Enough video with, well, of course you don't, because you're not as old as, you're not an old fucking piece of shit like me. But, they had the video for Goonies Are Good Enough from Cindy Lauper. Yeah, right, and I'm Cindy Lauper. And, like, there was such a fucking bizarre video. It ran kind of parallel to the movie, but not really. It opens up, like, Cindy Lauper's parent. Remember, it was Captain Lou is her dad, and there's that fucking other weird lady that was her mom that they reappeared in, like, every one of her videos. And that dude that was, like, her boyfriend, which I think he really was her boyfriend slash manager. And, like, they have, like, a restaurant or something like that, and the restaurant's about to go under. So, like, we're going to segue off into this dumb little part here. So, to collect the money, this car pulls up full up with, like, it's all wrestlers. This has nothing to do with Goonies or anything, but wrestlers were super popular at the time. WWF was, like, fucking, just, like, in its absolute golden age. And, they're like, well, we need to, it's MTV, we need to cross-promote, so let's get some wrestlers in this video. So, like, they write in that the people she owes money to, the parents, to keep the restaurant open, is, like, Rowdy Ronnie Piper, the Iron Sheik, and I think Classy Freddie Blassie. I think that's who pulls up. And they're all, like, fucking screaming in their face. And I remember the mom's, like, they're like, where's the money you owe? Like, you owe us money. And fucking, I can't do Iron Sheik at the moment for some reason. But they're all, like, yelling at her, like, where's our money for the rent? And the mom comes out. She's like, I'm making you guys some cookies. and Ronnie Piper's like, you can take your fucking cookies and suck them in your face. And he's like, he does that stupid thing. He's like screaming at this woman's face, like knows with her. And then for like no reason, and then Nikolai Volkoff pulls up in his pickup truck. I always remember because it was so weird. And he pulls up like milking a cow in the back of a pickup truck. Cause I guess cause he's like Russian and that's what they do there. And the cow is like, it was like a fucking big plastic cow. And he's singing like the Russian national anthem. And then I think like, do good guys show up? No, I think for some reason, like, the Goonies, like, show up to help. Like, the actual Goonies, the cast of the entire movie show up in the fucking video. And there's, like, one part where they're all, like, they all have, like, I guess it just so happens that if the whole cast wears one letter of each word of the word Goonies, it perfectly spells Goonies. There's exactly the amount of letters as there are cast members. And they all, like, she's like, who are you guys? And they're, like, they line up and they try to spell Goonies, and they have to switch their lineup so that their T-shirt spells Goonies across, like, the six of them or whatever the fuck. But, like, there's one part they're, like, running around, and, like, they pull this painting off the wall, and there's, like, this big fucking cave behind the painting. And, like, they go into it, and, like, it's kind of like Goonies 1A version of the movie, where they go down in, like, the fucking tunnels and shit. It was fucking weird. So much weird stuff in the fucking 80s. It's just, like, I put on my stupid Facebook, but, like, Glenn Frey died. I mean, I hate the Eagles more than I hate, like, ISIS. I fucking despise the Eagles, man. Despised. And, but I remember when I was a kid, what, that Smuggler's Blues. Smuggler's Blues! That fucking video. Because that was around, like, the fucking, the dawn of MTV. And I would watch that I would just fucking watch those videos. And they just, like, burned into my brain. They fucking, like, there's this shit you just don't forget from. It's so weird. Even when you're, like, a real little kid. I just remember, I loved that video. I didn't know what was going on in it, but it was just so cool. And it told this whole, like, story about, like, in the beginning, like, Glenn Frey and the dude go in and, like, rob these, like, drug... It's, like, somewhere in South America. It's on my fucking dumb Facebook page, but, it's, like, somewhere in South... It's supposed to be South America. It's so obviously, like, Van Nuys. It's fucking awful. But, it's like a mini fucking Miami Vice episode. There's, like, locations all over there for fucking aerial shots and, like... I knew it had something to do about, like, drugs and people shooting at each other, but I never, you know, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I just remember it was cool, and I just like there was cool shit in it. Anyways, that was a odd fucking side road to go down. So it's the classic lemons in lemonade. Fucking after I got off the stage, and I was like, that was. I mean, like I said, it went mediocre. I got the biggest laugh I got at the end was like, well, I just go, well, that was weird. I go, and I got here on, look at this, I got here on Tuesday, and I went up on a fucking Wednesday, and there was a fucking giant laugh on that one. I was like, oh, okay. But I'm like, fuck, like, I could do this more. Like, that's a huge, I mean, to be able to just do, like, to just be able to talk with crowds, like, that's a big fucking help. And it was, like, exciting that I could fucking actually do that and not, like, you know, completely eat it. You know, I got to get better at it. But I was like, fuck, I did it. I totally did that. It was fucking, it was cool. It was really, it was a good experience. You fucking son of a bitch. I'm really out of it. This nap really fucked me up. I am, like, not sharp, and this should be way funnier and more insightful, and it's not. My brain is like, that really fucked me up. I was in such a deep sleep. I felt like I was coming out of a fucking coma. I did that. I don't know if any of you guys did this, but, like, especially naps really do it for me. You go into deep sleep and your, like, lungs, like, close. You're like, you get in such a deep sleep, like, you fucking stop breathing. That's what I had that. And I had to, like, I was completely out of breath. I had to, like, fucking fill my lungs back up. I was like, holy shit. Let me see. Oh, yeah, the other thing is, like, I still got to fucking, I still got to get, like, more comfy on stage. I'm way better than I was. I've gotten way better. And now it's like, sometimes a couple times I've been like Saturday, I don't know why, I was really fucking nervous. I think it was because I was afraid to bomb again with the fucking sex talk. But Brandon was there and he was like, you sounded fucking fine, but I was nervous as shit. But I guess it didn't show. But I gotta get more fucking comfortable, like physically. Like I stand in this weird, like all the pictures of me, I'm in the same pose where like my like left foot kind of kicks out at like a 90 degree angle a little bit. And I look so like, not confident and shit. I hate how like my body is shaped. Like I hate how I'm like fucking standing on stage. It drives me fucking crazy. But yeah, I gotta like relax. Like I gotta start like walking around. I gotta like make use of this fucking stage a little bit more. Cause now I'm still like I said, I'm way better, but I'm still nervous and I still have my crutches. Like now I stand there and I just molest the microphone stand the whole time. Cause that's like my that's like my like, you know, it's like your security blanket. It's like your teddy bear. It gives you something to do with your hands, so you're not just standing there feeling so awkward. But it's like I don't. It keeps me posted to one spot, and you're not supposed to have the fucking. Who cares what you're supposed to do? I don't know. They tell you the first thing you do is you take the microphone stand and you move it to the other side of the stage, so like you don't walk into it or whatever the fuck. But yeah, I gotta I gotta be get more loose. You know what I mean? Look like I'm fucking relaxed up there. God damn it. Them making a murderer show. I don't know. It seems like the furor has really died down just in the last week. I think everyone saw it because that's all you fucking heard about for like seriously 2 weeks straight. I mean, not a day went by I didn't hear more people talking about Hanson and Drake. And I start watching this thing. It's on Netflix, and it took me a little bit to get into it. But once you get in episode 2 or 3. It's as fucking addicting as everyone says. It's so goddamn compelling. You're just like, I can't fucking believe this. And then I the one night I came home and I was just, I don't know, I was out of the tire or something like that. And I watched, I was supposed to do all this shit. And I could just tell, I got home, I'm like, I'm not doing shit. Fuck this. And I watched like 4 fucking hours. I watched 4 fucking hours of this. Like 4 episodes. I watched episodes like 3 through 7. And I was just like, oh my God, I gotta see the next one. I gotta see the next one. Cause you can't believe like how insane this fucking case is. It's so, we were talking about this over the weekend, but I agree with Dude Bogues. I totally think the guy did it. He didn't do it the first time, obviously. I think he did the second one, but the cops fucked around so bad. It's still like staggering. Like they just, it's like levels of police fuckery. I didn't know. Like if someone wrote that into a movie, you'd be like, that would never happen. It's so fake. But like it did. It's just, it's fucking incredible. So I watched in this giant chunk, and it's funny because I think Scott said that fucking Chelsea said the same thing about it. I tried to come back and watch it more, and I don't know if it was just like intellectually and emotionally draining, but I couldn't. I just like kind of didn't care anymore. I'm like, well, I got like 3 more episodes to go, and it's like, what's it gonna be? More? It's gonna be more of the same shit. I think the guy did it, and the cops fucked around and were really stupid and crooked, but he's not gonna get out of jail, so. Whatever, but yeah, I just kind of fizzled out on it. It sure had its hooks in me, man. It was just like being like addicted to crack for like one fucking weekend. It's like it just went away. What do I know? We shot over the weekend. I wrote this sketch called The Bookie about I think I talked about it, but it's about like when you watch Rounders. I know nothing about gambling, just like I don't know anything about sports. I don't know anything about fucking gambling. And I watch movies like Rounders and shit like that. I have no. They get in all. Now I appreciate they did their research and they want to show that they know every fucking term and nuance of people that gamble for a living, like AC/DC on the flop, lay down fucking two kings on the fucking stand-up, or you're not going to get fucking double AC/DCs, and you're just like, none of us know what that means. I don't, and I don't care. Now, I could still, use like the context clues, and I can still enjoy the fucking movie, and you know, but they get so technical. Like, when I watch shit like Rounders, like, this is what it sounds like to me. So I just wrote this really ridiculous dialogue that doesn't make any fucking sense about an undercover cop coming to, like, he goes to lay down some bets, and he gets the bookie to, you know, he's an undercover guy. He comes in and lays bets down, and once the bookie takes his bets, he arrests him. But, like, all the dialogue is really fucking stupid. It's just like, terms, like, they don't make any sense, because that's what it fucking sounds like to me when I watch the movies. So, shot it upstairs at fucking Pins. It's Mac. Oh yeah, there's a teaser trailer for it. It's on my Instagram at what is it? What's my Instagram? At Uncle Luke too. Actually, that one sucks because it's a 20-second preview clip, but Instagram only lets you put on 15 seconds, so it cuts 5 seconds off. But like the last 5 seconds are like important. So watch it on my Twitter at Weirdfellas too. Everything's with a fucking two with me. I don't know. I already, just the teaser trailer, I think it's going to be... I was really worried about this one, too. I really didn't even want to fucking do it, and I had no faith in it, but Mac and Scott liked it so much. And, like, Mac was, like, fucking hell-bent on doing this thing. He just loved it for some reason. I'm like, well, they really want to do it, and it's not that hard to shoot, so like, let's fucking do it. And I'm just like... We're, like, halfway through shooting it, and I'm like, free cameras. They just... Like Robin that runs the... Robin, get the fuck out! Who runs the Jerry's Deli at my other job, the bowling alley? So upstairs, there's like this banquet room we can shoot in. This is our fourth shoot in that room. We shot Spacefellas 2. It's like a nice fucking VIP bar lounge where they have bar mitzvahs and shit. It's like a fucking, it's basically like a little nightclub that's just never open. It's only running out for fucking private events. But like, they just let us shoot. Like, she doesn't even, it's not even, it used to be like a big deal to have to ask her, because Robin's, She can be a little cantankerous, the one that runs Jerry's. But now she's like, yeah, sure, go ahead. She just, like, fucking lets us shoot whenever. And it's like, I get this fucking location. Free crew, free camera. I know, like, two, like, Mac and fucking Scott are both fucking hilarious and, like, just insanely, like, talented, like, grounding level improv fucking funny dudes. And, I'm just, like, so lucky I get to do this shit. Sometimes I fucking forget. I'm just like... God damn it. Like, if I have an idea, I can just pick up a camera, get a crew, get a bunch of fucking talented people that I know and I'm friends with and like working with, and just shoot it. And most of the time they come out great. I'm just like, they're fucking pretty sweet. Like, I don't make any money doing this shit, but it's like, which might change in a little bit. I got a little story for you. But I'm just like, how fucking cool is it? Like, who gets to fucking do this? It was so great. I'm like, I'm a lucky bastard. Some fucking... free, like, what's his name, Logan from my other work, just gave me fucking lights. Well, I barely got the gear together because it was busy at work this weekend, but everyone was like, yeah, just take whatever the fuck you want. I was like, this is the fucking shit. But you know what? You know, at least if I whatever. This is a complete non-point road I was going to go down. I'm going to stay off non-point avenue for right now. I'm taking Laurel Canyon up to Sunset here. I'm going to drive past the Comedy Store. But it was pretty quick. It was like three fucking hours. 3 or 4 hour shoot, and I wish I could have got more extra. Everything was great. I didn't know at the time, because like the way I imagined this happening, it was kind of supposed to be like a quieter night at like an upscale lounge is where it's supposed to sort of take place. And I had like fucking 3 or 4 extras, but like the bar is so long, and the way the lens, the millimeters on the lens, it just looks like the place is fucking empty, and that there's just a sprinkling of people down at the end of the bar, which you need just to give the background some pop, so it looks like someone's, you know, in there, or else it's just a blank wall in the background. But I now, you know, once I was looking through the fucking monitor, I'm like, fuck, we could have used like 10 fucking people. Like, we need a bunch of people sitting at the bar, whatever. We did what we could with it. What do I know? But, so it went good, and it was funny. And, okay, so I tried to get, now don't tell Mac or Scott this. Well, no, Scott knew. But, like, for a little bit, I was just trying to, just for the fuck of it, because it was such an easy shoot, I was trying to get fucking famous people in it. And, you know, he sent it to me, and I wrote an email back saying, I don't know, do you think this is funny? And I was like, I don't know, Kirk, how do I answer that? Yes, I wrote it, and I think it's funny. Do you want to fucking do it or not? And I think I said something like, I'm like, yeah, I understand if you hate it. You probably think it's a piece of shit. And then he got all like defensive. He's like, no, you know, no, no. I'm not saying that. He go, what do you say? He goes, don't be a crybaby. I'm not. He's like, it's still art. That's what he said. He goes, I'll always support art. He's like, let me look at my my schedule and maybe we can do something. But I didn't ask him again after that. But I kind of had Sizemore interested. I really wanted to pull fucking Kirk and Tom. But then after, I don't know, something about this one, I wasn't maybe that sure about it, but I just didn't want to. I didn't really want to bother with it, so I was, and plus I felt really, I'm like, I gotta get someone really good, because fucking, I know Scott did too, but I'm like, I'm gonna really feel bad if I recast, like really bad if I recast fucking Scott and Mac on this one, but so I took one last ditch attempt, because I heard that James Caan, there's some big fucking premiere happening here on this fucking schmancy club on Sunset, and all these guys are getting out of the car, and they have the classic, I'm someone in L.A., sports, oh, I hate this fucking look. It's the fucking blazer, like the sports jacket, with a dress shirt underneath it, and fucking jeans and sneakers. It's like the classic Hollywood douchebag agent. I just saw like three of these guys. I'm right next to the fucking Standard Hotel here, and I hate when fucking guys wear that. It's so fucking corny. It's so like white guy trying to be business yet casual at the same time. Yeah, cause you know I'm not too businessy. I'm a fun fuck you, but So James Caan, he married some fucking bitch, and she left him, and she's like spending all of his money, like going crazy, and he's fucking broke and taking anything. Like they're describing I heard it on Anthony Cumia's show. He had an article about it. So as soon as I heard that, the Ed Wood me kicked in. I'm like, well, looks like I'm gonna send old James Caan a fucking email. He needs money really bad. He's gonna do anything. So I send him this thing, and I'm like, look, this is like a fucking hour. I'm like, he probably lives 20 fucking minutes away on a Sunday in Studio City. We'll give him like three. I even talked to Bokes, and he's like, fuck yeah. I've always wanted to get fucking James Caan since like minute one. I tried to get him originally. I forget by some circumstance. That's how I ended up getting Burt. Trying to get James Caan somehow, I ended up getting Burt Young for Affleck. But he was the, I seriously wrote, shut the fuck up for James Caan to come say it. He was my number one guy out of for some reason. And I used to do that show Las Vegas with him, and he was fucking such a pisser. I used to be on set with him a couple times, and he was fucking hilarious. But he seemed like kind of like a pissy old guy, but still like lovably fucking gruff, you know, this kind of thing. Anyways, I sent him a whole proposal. I'm like, we'll give him $300 cash right there. Show up, just do the fucking dumb thing and leave. Give us a break. Let us fucking shoot with our fucking hero, Jimmy Caan, because me and Bokes are obviously, I mean, everyone is, but me and Dude Bokes are like giant Godfather fans. I don't hear anything. I don't hear nothing from him. So, and that was my last. I'm like, this is it. James Caan is the, I even told Bokes, because Bokes really wanted to get a fucking celebrity for some reason on this one. And I'm like, I'll try James Caan, and that's it. I never heard nothing back. So we shoot it. And then just like yesterday, I get this email from CAA, this really long, very fucking involved, technical, legal email saying like thank you for trying to submit. It's got all kind of legalese in it, like heretofore mentioned legal script hereby states the plaintiff rights document A exhibit 1 fucking basically saying they don't take any unsolicited material, and thanks for thinking of us, but we have very strict rules in regards to people reading scripts because they don't want to get, and I'm like, no, you don't. I send shit to CAA all the fucking time, and it goes to their fucking agents. So I'm just saying, like, they so like, thank you for reaching out, but we couldn't even show this to like Mr. Caan. I'm like, what shit? What fucking bad agents? Like, your guy is this fucking broke. He could have made $300 fucking dollars in 1 hour. I know it's like I'm sure at one point James Caan was a fucking multimillionaire, but apparently now he's not. And the guy's fucking 70 years old, who's really knocking down his fucking door for quality parts. Like, they're reading all these horrendous like straight to video things. He's like hustling and grinding like he's 20 years old, just out of fucking Stella Adler Institute, trying to get fucking parts. This poor fucking bastard. I'm like, that was a fucking handout. Like, fuck you, CAA. You fucking shit agents. Fuck you. So we shoot. This is on Sunday. So we shoot, and we go down to fucking Mexicali to have our classic, especially if we shoot there, because Mexicali is right down the street. It's a Mexican restaurant out here. We love it. They got fucking great margaritas. Horrendous fucking service. Waiter sucked. Oh, he was fucking terrible. Food was mediocre. Ah, oh, mediocre. fucking, then the plan is to go home, regroup, and then we're going to have fucking steak and cigar sundae over at Scotty's. Which is going to be fun, right? So we went over. We did just that. We all got steaks. We took them over and cooked them on Scotty's big giant fucking grill. We all bought some booze. And fucking Netta, because she was in it, she had a little part. And then her fucking friend, a black chick, Sam, came over. And I was just like, end of the night. And I had to work the next day, so I couldn't get like shit house. But I was drinking, and I'm just like, what an awesome day! Like we shot for a couple hours, and then we fucking went and had margaritas, and now we're just fucking sitting around bullshitting, smoking cigars, eating fucking steaks. Like, pretty fucking rad. It was a great Sunday. I'm like, you know what? Things aren't so bad in Los Angeles. I'm fucking so broke. I don't know what to do with myself, but at least I got that going for us. I guess that's it. The bookie should be done in a couple weeks, but I don't know. I think it's going to be funnier than I think it might be better than I planned. Thank God, because that's always great when that happens. The other day I was going to work. This is my classic. I fucking hate the Los Angeles. I don't know what I hate work. The cops or the firemen. Every fucking problem in LA, the fire department has to get involved. Two fire trucks have to come. From everything from a fucking cat in a tree to a fucking kid fell off his bike and scraped his knee. The whole fucking fire department comes. I'm walking to work, and I work in a weird spot because Marina Del Rey is a really affluent area, but it's really spotty. Like the outer edges of it, where like the main streets are, especially like Lincoln Avenue, which runs all the way through Venice, is just homeless fucking pair. I mean, the intersection over by my work is Washington and Lincoln, and it is a fucking... It's like Bellevue fucking mental hospital in New York. I mean, just there's bums everywhere. Crazy bums. Like gutter punks. Just people. There's this whole fucking section right by... I work in this kind of weird little like... Sort of like half industrial area. I mean, not like industry, but like it's all just offices and just weird little buildings. And it's kind of like on back street. So you got to walk through this little neighborhood to get to the 7-Eleven where I get my coffee all the time. And because it's so busy and so, why am I explaining this? It's so fucking, the intersection is so big and such a pain in the ass, it's easier just to walk there. So I walk all the time. And it's only like 120 yards down the fucking road. But there's this one section where you make a right before you get to corner of Washington and Lincoln. I call it the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. And it's all just, that's where I saw the dead bum. I think I talked about one of the early episodes in here. Like, I just saw a fucking total dead guy laying there dead. And, they're just people all lay, like they'll just lay on the sidewalk there. There'll be like four just completely fucking passed out, wasted guys at 8 o'clock in the morning, all like old men with all their clothes on and shit, just like snoring and weird shit coming out of their mouth. And I'm walking over there, and then so there's two fucking, this is like 8 a.m. There's two giant fucking fire trucks, and I'm like, where's the not fire this time? And I come around the corner to where the 7-Eleven is, where it's like the fucking homeless goddamn G.I. Joe headquarters. And I see this fucking old, like the firemen are walking this old bum who's got like fucking a gash on his forehead. His face is all punched in. He's kind of bleeding. And then this is the dialogue over here. The fucking, the bum goes, why did that guy beat the shit out of me? The fireman goes, because you deserved it. It was just so funny. It was such a perfect exchange. Because you deserved it. It was like a fucking Scorsese movie I was walking through. And then it's a full hook and ladder truck, which is fucking huge, and another small fire truck. I can't talk to you. Small fire truck. No cops. No ambulances. This is like a fucking urban assault. The guy's bleeding. And they send only the fire department. Why would you send two full fire trucks? There's no fire. There's nothing that needs a hose or firemen or people that are like technically know how to fucking screw a giant hose into a fucking fire. Nothing. Dude, why isn't it two cop cars and one ambulance? Why is there two fire trucks and they're fucking the entire intersection up? It's Washington and Lincoln. It's a fucking huge, that intersection is such a motherfucker, and there's just two fucking fire trucks. They couldn't even park on the side street, so they weren't fucking parked on fucking Washington. They're still parked there. I'm like, you fucking, like, people are so fucking, like, power mad out here. It's ridiculous. They just don't give a shit. It's fucking incredible. But, that fucking pissed me off. I'm like, yeah, another one, classic. I got a picture of that. I got a snapshot and put it on my fucking, on my Flickr page there. Looking Good Podcast. Live from the 405 Podcast. That's my Flickr page. I'll say it again, just in case you're just tuning in. But why would you do that? Because you would have had to fucking press play and download this from the beginning. It's not like you're just going to fucking download the episode and scroll the fucking cursor halfway through for no goddamn reason. But, like, I think I'm on real radio here. What a fucking very good piece of shit I am. Now I'm going over Laurel Canyon into the valley. And I'm going to go to the gym, my new favorite gym. I love this place. That one in Studio City I told you about. My name for this place is the Pig Iron Pit. The fucking Pig Iron Pit. You go down, it's like fucking Mad Max shit. You just go down to this fucking dirty basement. It's just one big long room and it's just nothing but fucking, just fucking pig iron. Just plates and fucking dumbbells and steel. No bullshit. A couple of universal machines, but otherwise just fucking racks of weights and just fucking meatheads tearing it up. I'm going to do my fucking arms tonight. And then I got to go to that Young LC's because, whatever. I got to get the footage of when I did that show with him. Because I'm trying to get on book shows now. And all the promoter, no, these guys don't know me. They'll just put a thing on Facebook like, hey, Friday night, need 3 comics to do 5 minutes each for blah, blah, blah. Hit me up. And I'll hit them up. And they'll be like, oh, okay, well, send me you doing stand-up. I don't fucking have any. And, like, it was, like, shot with, like an actual, like, kind of photographer guy shot it. And I did fucking, that was, like, the best show I ever had, best set. So I got to get that fucking footage from him. He's killing me with this shit. He's been fucking just one problem after another trying to get me this goddamn thing. So I'm just going to take a hard drive over and get it from him. So for the third week in a row, I'm really late for something. I was supposed to have left an hour, because I was supposed to sleep for 15 minutes out of fucking hour and 20. I just fucking fried my whole goddamn brain. Where am I at on this shit? What's this say? Nate's Adams had been telling us about this fucking music video. So this guy's got so much. Now this is where it's the hard work of working for this dude for free and doing all this shit is going to pay off, because I think this guy is starting to get so much work he can't even keep up with it all, because he's constantly hitting up me and Dude Bose to do shit. So he hits us up and he's like, I got a video coming up. It's some European pop star, a chick from Germany. He's got like 3 documentaries going on, tons of shit, just so much shit's coming his way. And I'm this is what I'm hoping is that like we helped him out on that MMA documentary last month or whatever that was, 2 months ago. And now he's starting to get some paid stuff. And I'm like, if we start getting his stuff and hitting it out of the park for him, we're just going to become like his guys he comes to for everything. For all his like overflow work, he's just going to fucking hand it over to us. And like, we're going to fucking be like in business, like literally, like we'll have like paid, you know, real shit to shoot for fucking to get paid. And like, maybe we can like do that for as a fucking gig, which is like the fucking been like the dream. I mean, you know, it's not our stuff we're doing, but like, it's a way in, you know, it's a foot in the door. So, the budget for this thing's $5,000. And, he wants to get us on a conference call with like some other producer guy. And the actual artist is a chick from Germany. I forget her name. She's some, like, he's telling me about it before I talk to him. He's like, she's like the number 3 pop star in Europe. He's like, I don't even know what the fuck that means. He's like, she wants to make this video and she wants helicopters. She's like, she wants it to be like the Guns N' Roses November Rain video. And I don't think she realizes, like, you can't have that happen for $5,000. So he's like, you know, so like our log line or like our pitch is like, we'll make it look like, I mean, if you got $4,000 or $5,000, especially with Dude Bogues, because he's like fucking really knows how to fucking, not stretch a dollar, but really get you some bang for your buck, just using, you know, fairly simple stuff. But he can make stuff look really good with not a lot of money or material, you know? So that was kind of like our pitch. Like, if you don't have a lot of money, we'll still get you a pretty good fucking, okay, I'll say, he'll still get you a really good looking video and I'll help him. But, so we get her on the phone in this conference call, and like, it's her and Nate and this other dude who's got an accent, and the chick has like a real fucking kind of a thick German accent. She sounds like a terrorist from a movie. And this is my first one of these, and like neither me nor Dude Bogues had Skype, and we didn't know how it fucking worked, so we had to get it like that morning. And like, we're texting each other on the side while this chick's laying out all our ideas. Now this is such a it's going to be a fucking wild ride, because the song isn't done yet. Usually you have the song ahead of time, then our question going in was like, does she already have ideas that she wants us to shoot? Or is she just turning the whole thing over to us and be like, make me a video? Like, we didn't know. So we find out that this song isn't even recorded yet. And she only has, like, the broadest of broad ideas for the video. And we're just like, oh, boy, that's not going to give us much time to, like, get it together. It's going to be, like, a real run-and-gun fucking crazy-ass thing. But I don't know. It's, like, our first real job. Our first, like, legit real paid job. And I don't know how much we're going to make. I don't probably won't end up making all that much. But it's something. I mean, 6 years in, I might make a couple hundred bucks. But we're shooting it next month, in like towards the end of February. So I don't know. I'll see what happens with it. But that's kind of cool. That's happening. Tree Man said he'll help out. Maybe he will. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself. What am I at here? Cause I'm passing the pig iron pit right now. Now I'm heading over in a goddamn. I made it there really fast for taking fucking Venice all the way down to La Cienega. That fucking the Californians sketch from Saturday Night Live. God is that fucking man is intrusive. I took Laurel Canyon to Ventura and I made a left on Balboa. And when they do that thing, when they tell you that people really do that, I'm doing it right now, telling you about it. I'm almost there. But what else do I got on here? I'm telling you, like, that nap just fucking threw this whole thing into a tumult. I just can't get my shit together. I'm sorry, this isn't funnier. It's just very just straightforward and. Kind of not, I don't want this podcast to be like my weekly fucking diary entry that you hear. It's supposed to be jokes and shit. So if it came across like that, I'm sorry. I'm trying to grow my hair and make it longer. I had to address this yesterday when I got on stage. I worked all day. So yesterday was Wednesday. I took a shower Tuesday night before I went to bed. So Wednesday I get up. I worked. Like I said, I don't know. I almost enjoy telling people I tan. Just for the fucking shocked and horrendous reactions I get from them. I don't care. Like, I told more people, they're like, ew, are you fucking confused? Other men fucking hate it. And you tell them you fucking tan. You might as well tell them you fucking put a woman's underwear on when you get home. But, so I fucking work out. I go tanning, and then I go back. And, like, now my hair is greasy as fuck anyway. It is out of control, man. Like, at this point in my life, I don't think it's ever been this bad. And I have, like, non-greasy shampoo that's supposed to take the fucking grease out of your hair. But I don't know. I'm just trying to do different shit with it because I'm just tired of getting a cut like once a month and I don't know. By the time I went to get on stage, it looked like someone dumped half a bottle of Crisco in my hair. It was everywhere. It was fucking filthy. I was just like, I just got up and I'm like, my hair is fucked. I don't know what to tell you guys. Like it looks terrible. I'm greasy as shit. It's a fucking mess. I don't know what to do. I need to get, like, some other kind of shampoo or something, but... Because I don't want to fucking cut it. I want to see, like, how long... I don't want, like, long, like, fucking Metallica hair, but... I don't know. I'm trying to get it longer than usual. Why would I... Who cares? Who cares about my greasy hair? Why would I... Why? Why did I even... Why did I tell that? What kind of fucking... How broken is my self-editor tonight? The other night, I read about this, and I shouldn't. I stumbled on something on the internet. Hang on. Did I miss anything? I stumbled on something on the internet called black-eyed kids. So, because like sometimes like I'll be up like late at night and I'll start Wikipedia and weird shit, and then sometimes I get into some fucking scary shit, and I get into this and it fucking scared the living shit out of me. It's like, just look it up, just like Google it. I don't know. I found it on some fucking Reddit page or something, but it's like these stories about these kids. It'll be two kids. This is the scariest shit I've read about in a long time. This might be like. I still can't tell if it's internet shit like Slenderman, totally made up, or if these are like real accounts, because like, it's relatively new. Like, these stories only started coming out like 10 years ago, but then like people started coming out, but the level of details that people have in these stories are so creepy, they just fucking creep me out so bad. So like, this guy, this is a very typical story. This guy tells a story. He said he's in Pennsylvania, and he's leaving his friend's apartment or whatever, he's at his friend's house, and he's parked, and now it's like a Saturday night at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And his car is parked in this, like, parking complex next to the dude's apartment building. And no one's around. He gets in his car. And right when he goes to start it up, he looks out his window. And all of a sudden, there's two fucking kids standing there. It's always the same thing in these stories. One kid's, like, 14. And the other kid's real little, like, 6. And it's usually two boys. And they need a ride somewhere. And they want to get in your car. And this is, like, vampire shit. They can't... This is the good thing about it. If you're a fucking... afraid of nonsense like myself, They apparently they can't get in places unless you invite them. They can't just walk in. There's something walk in. So they'll be like, oh, it's always like a really weird story. Like, oh, we're stuck here, and they never like they talk weird. They always say they have like for being little kids they have strangely adult like dialogue and way of talking, you know. And they'll be like, oh, there's been an accident. Our mother's hurt. Can you take us for a ride into town? And they're always really vague. They're like, oh, we live on the other side of town. And the guy's like, well, where exactly do you live? Like, because the other common thing is you're always terrified. You know something's wrong with these kids, but you feel bad because they're kids and you want to help them. And they're like, oh, we just live on the other side of town. And the guy's like, where? I'm going, like, I got to get on the fucking freeway over here. I'm obviously paraphrasing this. I don't know if the guy talked like this. He's like, I gotta get on the freeway, and I don't know if I'm going that way. So tell me exactly where you are. And the kid's like, just across town. Like, just let us in. It's cold. And the guy's just like, it goes back and forth. And the guy's just looking to get out, like a way to get away. So I think he finally goes to fucking roll up the window, and he just said, like, the older kid just started fucking. The kid's voice totally changed, and he had like a totally adult timbre to his voice, and just started like swearing at him and shit. And he said like the little kid just looked sad. And the other kid's like, fuck you motherfucking piece of shit. So he's like, he knew something was up. And the guy knew there was like a supernatural thing. And he's completely freaked out. And he said, he's racing through the fucking, he was way up top on this parking ramp. And he said, like, every time he'd come down another corner, he was afraid that those fucking kids were going to be there and jump out at him. So the guy's like terrified. He's trying to get on the highway and get the fuck away from him. And he's looking around. He doesn't see him for a while. And then, I mean, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, like the middle of some, like, I think he said it wasn't even that great of a part of town, but no one's around. And then he gets to this fucking intersection, and sure enough, there's the fucking kids. The older kid's just fucking scowling at him. The little kid looked all like sad. But the guy said that he couldn't sleep for like a week. I couldn't walk right for a week. He couldn't sleep for like a week after that, and it just like completely freaked him out. But like, there's a lot of them where like, it happens in like far, in like rural, well, happens quote unquote, in like rural areas, like farm or like outer places where like, in the middle of the day, just like a mom will hear like a knock at the door, and there'd be the two kids there. Should we get the fuck out of here, you know? But it freaked me out so bad. I've been everyone I sent the article, a couple like girls like the slob and shit and fucking Cam, because I know that shit scares them. I know who is scared by the same kind of things as me, and I like torturing them. And everyone I sent them to was like, and it was like midnight. Like, why the fuck did you send me that? Now I'm fucking terrified. And I swear to you, I have been sleeping with my fucking apartment. I'm a grown man. I'm 36. I'm sleeping with my, what the fuck? I locked the door at night because I'm afraid I'm going to hear a knock and those fucking kids are going to hear. How fucking embarrassing. Black Eyed Kids, I'm telling you, look it up. That shit's fucking scary.